Ricardo, this is David Coulthard.
Hi everyone, Mark Webber here from Red Bull Racing.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, you are the world champion. You are the man.
Thank you to all of you. Thanks for your support and keep following our podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Red Bull Racing podcast. After a thrilling Chinese Grand Prix for round four of the 2012 Formula One Championship, we head to the dust, heat and desert of the Bahrain International Circuit, the track which hosted its first Grand Prix in 2004. Our best result here was Sebastian Vettel's place on the second step of the podium when he was runner-up back in 2009. For this season, we've reverted back to the Grand Prix circuit, which is slightly shorter than the endurance track used in 2010. And the lap record holder for this configuration is Michael Schumacher, who recorded a quickest time of 1 minute 30.252 back in its inaugural Grand Prix. The most successful drivers in Bahrain now both drive for Ferrari. Felipe Massa and Fernando Alonso have each won twice at this circuit, where back in 2006, our sister team, Scuderia Toro Rosso, made its track debut. A total of 120,000 tons of asphalt were used to build the circuit, and for this race, each lap is 5.412 kilometres. It's a testing track. The constantly changing character of the corners and its desert location mean it can be difficult to settle into a rhythm, and sand blown off the desert can suddenly appear on the track, meaning drivers are never quite sure where it's going to be slippery. Coming up on this podcast, we'll hear from both our drivers about their fantastic races here in Bahrain. We'll also catch up with David Coulthard, Christian Horner and NASCAR driver Brian Vickers. First, Katie spoke to team manager Jonathan Wheatley to see how he's found the first leg of the 2012 season.
Okay, I'm here with Jonathan. We're at the fourth race of four flyaways that we've just done. How challenging has that been for you in terms of organising the team and all the equipment?
I would say, to be honest, that this has been the toughest year yet, certainly in my experience at Red Bull. It's a bit of a shame that, if you like, our results haven't shown just how hard we've worked, but I'd have to say that I'd say the guys work harder than they ever have before.
Why has it been so challenging this year?
I think some of it's trying to understand the car and obviously the continual pace of development. Certainly the cars get more and more complicated every year, so the guys have to become more skilled. They've got a more complicated car to work with. It takes longer to do what would have been simple servicing tasks in the past, and I think we've had a little bit of bad luck as well in our preparation.
And in terms of shipping the garage around and all the equipment for the team, how's that been?
Well, our garage logistics and the logistics of most of our equipment, I think I could hold my head up and say that we're probably one of the best at what we do. We're doing a pretty good job in terms of keeping the weight down, because weight means money for us, and our actual schedules seem to be working very well, and we seem to be one of the first teams finished in terms of garage pack-ups and builds. So yeah, quite proud of that at the moment.
The way that the races worked with Australia, Malaysia, China, Bahrain, is that a natural fit in terms of shipping the equipment round?
Well, there's two forms of shipping, as I'm sure most people are aware. There's the stuff that we fly to at the events, which is something around the region of 28 to 31 tonnes, depending on where you are, and the 10 tonnes of sea freight. So really, honestly, for us, we can adapt. And we sent our sea freight shipments over 4 months ago. So it's actually very easy. We can adapt to wherever the races are. What is difficult is, of course, fatigue, and that plays a big role. When you work as hard as we do here at Red Bull, then it's difficult to not get that rest period in between the next race. So we're certainly looking forward to a little gap before Barcelona.
And then before then, we've obviously got the test coming up. What challenges does that bring?
Well, I'm sure most of the people listening to this will know that we have restrictions on the amount of personnel that we can employ as a part of the cost-saving measures. So, unfortunately, we'll be taking a great percentage of our race team to Mugello next week for a three-day test. Whilst it's great for us, tests couldn't have come at a better time. Whilst we're trying to understand RB8, it's going to prove yet another challenge to our guys, and it's going to be another week away from home.
And then into the European races, are they easier because you don't have the sea freight as well?
The nice thing about the European races is that the office is built already, if you like. So we don't have to set up all the infrastructure such as we do here. We have the wonderful energy station, which also houses several offices in there, which are already built. So Europeans are much, much easier for us.
OK, so we leave Bahrain, and then what's the plan for the guys? Do they get a day off, or how does that work?
Well, we've funny you should ask that now. We've got a meeting in exactly 25 minutes to discuss what we're going to do next week, because you should probably imagine a team as big as ours. It's not just Mugello and Barcelona we're thinking about. There'll be various R&D tests next week. There'll be the turnaround of the gearboxes, chassis, repainting, repairs. You know, most of this kit's been away for an awful long period of time. So what we're going to try to do is just schedule as much rest as we can for our guys, as well as much pit stop practice as we can possibly fit in.
Okay, well, it sounds like there's a lot going on, so we'll leave you to get on with that, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, Katie.
On to the race now, and our world champion Sebastian Vettel took his first victory of 2012 in a close battle with Lotus's Kimi Räikkönen at the Bahrain Grand Prix. Seb built an early lead from pole but was caught by the Finn, who started 11th. Vettel then pulled away after the final pit stops despite Räikkönen's attempts to close him down. His win here means he's back at the top of the driver's table. Here is race winner Sebastian Vettel after the race.
I knew that it would be difficult for Kimi to create, you know, a second pull up faster than what we did. He was on the same set of tyres. We both had a new set of tyres at the end, so it was a bit easier for me then to, you know, counter or to you know, react whenever he was putting a fast lap in. Whereas before, I was always on a set that was 3, 4, 5 laps older and scrubbed. So we used that one obviously in qualifying, which was a disadvantage, but we had the pace in the car and the confidence. So even though it was very close once to keep the gap, and even at the end of the second last stint, pull away slightly, delay our stop by a lap or two, and which was crucial at the end to, you know, have the same amount of laps left than Kimi had, and the pit stop in the end I think made the difference. So the guys were extremely quick, and yeah, we got a good 2 seconds gap out of that, and after that I could control the race a little bit more from there. I think definitely I felt happy with the car this weekend, the first time where I had the feeling I could lean on it, and it was consistent, so I knew, you know, what to expect, what I get. So great, you know, great, a big thank you to the team, to the guys in the factory. They've been pushing it incredibly hard, and now we've got a bit of time. We've got a test in Mugello to, you know, work even a little bit more into detail, test different stuff, and hopefully we'll be strong enough in Barcelona.
Mark recorded his fourth place of the season. His haul of points means that once again Red Bull Racing is top of the constructors' table too. Here he is after the race.
Not too bad a start. I didn't have Kurs for the first few laps, which made it difficult to put some pressure on Lewis. I got Kurs back a little bit after that. And then first two stints, I couldn't stay with those three guys. Absolutely no way. They were pulling away. The two Renaults, he said, couldn't stay with them. So had to consolidate from there. So I got some good points. And looking forward to getting on the plane. And boys done a good job. But we go back to Europe now with a good start to the championship.
David Coulthard had an incredible race here in Bahrain back in 2006, and he was delighted with the race here today as well. David Granger spoke to him after the race.
So David, Red Bull Racing leave Sakhir, heading both championship tables. Is that what you expected at the beginning of today?
I wasn't really looking so much at where the individual drivers and teams were in the championships overall, you know, just trying to focus in and understand the ever-changing fortunes of the teams and the sensitivity of the Pirelli tyres. And, you know, much has been said about certain teams, you know, being on form, off form, and remarkably this weekend it was Red Bull discovering their pole position mojo again, and then in the race, of course, Sebastian converted a perfect start into controlling the race. It got oh so close with Kimi Räikkönen at one point when he had an opportunity into turn one. But you know, where did Lotus come from? They've shown reasonable form in the first couple of races, but nothing to suggest that they were, you know, really in the hunt for a race victory. So 4 races in, I think we've got a hell of a championship in our hands.
We go next actually to testing. That's obviously we haven't had that for a couple of seasons. How much difference is that going to make with the changing form this season? How much is testing going to make a difference?
Well, I think the biggest thing about the test opportunity is it gives people the chance to be a bit more aggressive in discovering setups and things like that, which you wouldn't maybe take the risk during a race weekend when you're so limited in running. I don't think it'll make a huge difference in terms of what they develop. You know, what I mean by that is that any aerodynamic parts, which is, you know, often the most influential part of the car, anything they take there will have had to have been introduced in development and manufacture maybe 4 weeks ago. So they can't suddenly accelerate a whole bunch of new stuff between now and the test. So it'll be part of a series of developments. And yeah, it'll be interesting for the teams to see another track, another track temperature on a racetrack which is very well known to Ferrari. Mugello is the test track. It's actually owned by Ferrari, I believe. So they'll be doing a lot of running around there.
And are you looking forward to the Spanish Grand Prix? Is Barcelona one of the tracks you like to watch racing at?
Yeah, I think that Spanish Grand Prix last year, if we remember, Alonso gave the home fans something to scream about by taking the lead at the start of the race. It is a proven ground for performance in Formula 1. Historically, anyone who's been quick there has, in winter testing, has had a real chance at the championship. So no surprise that, you know, Red Bull, McLaren have been able to win races this year. A little bit more surprised that Mercedes pulled it off in China. But all of that said, I think that Barcelona, we've got a great season of Formula 1. Viewing figures for BBC are up on every race. It just shows that globally that the public are, you know, really enjoying this Formula 1 2012.
Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks.
As usual, the Grand Prix pulled in big celebrity names from the world of entertainment and, of course, sport. Superstar NASCAR driver and DC's good friend Brian Vickers was seen soaking up the atmosphere in the paddock. David Granger spoke to him earlier this weekend.
Brian, welcome to Bahrain. Is this the first time you've been to a Grand Prix?
No, it's not my first Grand Prix, but I went to some races. I've been to Indy, Montreal. It's my first time to Bahrain. I've actually spent a good bit of time in Saudi and Qatar, the UAE, but not here.
Right, excellent. And so what do you make of the racing here compared to what you're normally used to then? How does it compare?
As far as Formula 1 racing in NASCAR, it's completely different. There's four tires, and those four tires aren't even the same. But there's four tires and a steering wheel and a motor. The steering wheel is different size. The motor's in a different place. And the tires are shaped completely different, other than the fact that they're round. So the racing is, you know, in Formula 1, it's just two different decisions, the way that the sanctioning bodies have taken the sports. You know, Formula 1 is really much more about the technology and aerodynamics and speed and that. Where NASCAR, most of the sanctioning body decisions are about how's the race for the fans. Is it an entertaining race? Is it a good race? You know, from a team perspective, I mean, we're obviously, you know, we try to achieve the fastest speed we can. I mean, we try to make the car as fast as we possibly can with all the tools that we have from a mechanical and an aero standpoint and an engine standpoint, just like Formula 1. The difference is the rules that we're giving.
Ever fancy having a go in one of these cars then?
Yeah, I would love to. I'd love to drive a car someday. I mean, I don't know if I would want to race Formula 1 full-time, you know, especially at this point. Like, you know, I feel like you kind of have to start here and, you know, it's like a lifetime process, you know. I mean, it'd be like, you know, one of these guys deciding in the middle of their career they just want to go race NASCAR. Like, it wouldn't work. Like, our cars, I'm not going to say it wouldn't work. It would just require a lot of time and a lot of effort to kind of readjust.
And what about yourself? What's your plans for the next couple of weeks?
Well, you know, a lot has changed for me in the last year. Obviously, driving for Red Bull for 5 years was, you know, just an incredible experience. I mean, I had so much fun. You know, we did really well. Unfortunately, we got cut short by some health issues when I had blood clots and heart surgery. But I can't thank Red Bull enough for everything they did for me, and I had a wonderful time. Like, I truly did. It actually worked out great because it's been, you know, 11 years now in NASCAR for me, a little bit over 10 years. And, you know, there's always these other things I wanted to do for a long time. And, you know, this is my year to go do them. So I'm running some races in other series. I'm still running NASCAR, and I've run a couple races so far. And now I'm focused kind of over here in Europe for the summer. So I'm going to run Spa. I tested Spa this past week for the first time.
How was Eau Rouge then?
It was awesome. It was so much fun. What a great road course. You know, I had an incredibly great time. I mean, just there were so many turns. I don't even know how to pronounce half of them. They all have these names, but I was in a GT2 Ferrari. It went really well, and I'm going to go back for the race. So I'm kind of over here for a bit, trying my hand at some of this stuff. It's fun. It's it actually worked out amazingly well. It's like, I'm so happy. It's like what I always wanted to do.
Cool. And will we catch up with you again, do you think? Will you come try and make some more Formula 1 races?
Absolutely. I would love to, yeah. I'd love to be back out of the racetrack and supporting the Red Bull team, of course.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Hopefully we'll hear more from Brian later in the year. It's been an unpredictable start to the season. We've had four races, four different winners from four different teams. Let's hear from Christian Horner to wrap up the podcast. Katie spoke to him after the race.
A great performance today. After a good getaway from the pole, Sebastian settled into the race, had a very strong first stint. And the challenge today was that, having been high on consumption of our tyres yesterday, was that we needed to get more out of them today. And Seb did a masterful job of keeping the life in the tyre and making the three-stop strategy work. We got the calls at exactly the right time. Great pit work today, some super stops, and a tight race with Kimi Raikkonen, especially approaching the final stop. It was crucial to get that right, but with a sublime performance from the pit crew today, we actually managed to win a second in the pit lane. So a great result with Mark as well. It's his fourth place finish, again having used more tyres yesterday. To some of our competitors, they were able to profit from fresher tyres being available, but he drove what turned out to be ultimately a fairly lonely race in P4, which are vital points for him and the team, which now leads the Constructors and Drivers World Championship.
So it was a very strong race here for us in Bahrain. We head back to Europe, leading both the Drivers and Constructors Championships once again, but nothing's taken for granted. The 2012 form and the tight pack mean that this long season is going to be a tough one for everyone involved. Remember, you can always get the latest team news, pictures and videos from our website, which is redbullracing.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll be back from the Spanish Grand Prix in Barcelona on the 13th of May. Until then, take care.